The Sports Cast, October 23rd, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. You could also listen to us on the Sports Cap app, live radio, and you could also listen to the live radio on thesportscast.net. And that's where you'll find articles about Joe Mixon. This episode is brought to you by Insta Bible app. You can get the Insta Bible app on the Apple iOS App Store. Get that going. It's been more of a positive week for the NFL and the coronavirus. Not too major positive tests, but a few games were rescheduled. And we're definitely going to touch on the World Series because we haven't touched on it all week. And joining us all the way from a windy Rochester, a man that knows that the Big Ten will not have fans this year, Ryan Krista.
Santiago, what a wonderful day. Happy Friday to Sportscast Nation out there. I hope you guys are ready for a weekend of football. But, yes, we got Game 3 and the World Series tonight, deadlock 1-1. We'll see who can take the next step closer to a championship.
I was told by my office neighbor that the Dodgers have way better talent, but the Rays have more hustle, more grind.
Oh, they're just built differently. You know, the Rays are – they operate on a very small budget. They make a lot of moves, you know. They bring in a lot of different talent, younger talent. You know, they might develop them. And then when they get to, a certain point, then they trade them for more younger talent. And then, you know, they kind of stuck rich with this team. You know, they, you know, there's a lot of – athletes like the Dodgers. The Dodgers, I mean, up and down their lineup, they got, you know, mashers up there and crush the ball. But, you know, the Rays depend on a lot of good pitching, which the Dodgers have good pitching. But, you know, there definitely is a talent gap. You know, if you take Clayton Kershaw, the top pitcher of the Dodgers, and Mookie Betts, the Dodgers' top player, they make more money, those two, in one single season than the rest of the whole.
Something to definitely look at. Of course, Ryan will tell us who will win Game 3 tonight on a Friday night in Arlington, Texas. Ryan, are you ready to preview Week 7 of the NFL?
Let's go.
All right, guys. I'm getting ready. Let's go for the first big matchup of the weekend. The Pittsburgh Steelers at Tennessee, AFC showdown, where we'll see the real deal Tennessee Titans.
Wow, the Tennessee Titans, even though they went to the AFC championship game last year, they're still kind of team right now. This is the first game that got canceled due to COVID a couple weeks ago. Rescheduled it this week. So instead of 2-3-0 teams that were supposed to play a couple weeks ago, now we got 2-5-0 teams. Two heavyweight, you know, the Titans escaped from victory last week against the Texans, you know, and then the Steelers are just mauling people. You know, this is a team that, you know, had disappointment last year. Ben Roethlisberger missed most of the year. You know, whenever they end up not making the playoffs, whenever the Steelers don't make the playoffs, it seems the next year they come back stronger and hungrier. So no different this year. This is a tough out for any team to beat the Steelers. But I do like this game to come down to the end. But I think the purple and the black and gold of the Steelers will edge out the Titans in the end.
Hey, Ryan, Minnesota is not playing this week, so don't think about purple right now.
No, you're right. Yeah. Adjust your fantasy teams accordingly. Take out Dalvin Cook.
Anyways, he picks Pittsburgh over Tennessee. He still has doubts over Tennessee. I don't. I do think Tennessee is the real deal, and Vrabel is the best coach in the NFL, but that's for another podcast.
Santiago, week in and week out, that guy finds loopholes in the rules, you know, to benefit his team, you know.
Just like Belichick.
Last year he did it against the Patriots, you know, and playoffs, and then last week, you know, he took a penalty to the clock. He's definitely shown himself to his personality. taking the Steelers does not mean I'm a doubter of the Tennessee Titans. Do not think that. I just think that this week, I think the Steelers will win the game. But these two teams play again in January, I might think differently.
I do believe in Mike Vrabel. He's the new Belichick, I call him. So we'll see what happens in Tennessee, in Nashville. The Dallas Cowboys with the Red Rifle struggling last week, going up against a Washington football team. Ryan, this is a little bit of a low-key matchup, but would you give Gilby a shot here?
These are two teams that are both heading in the wrong direction. So this is definitely a desperation game for both of these teams. You know, the Redskins won their opening week, and since then they've lost four straight games. They don't look good. They don't have a quarterback right now. You know, Kyle Allen. They switched to Kyle Allen, which has not gone very well. But you play in the Cowboys, a team that looked absolutely horrendous on Monday night against the Cardinals. You know, the players are coming out saying, you know, the team isn't prepared to play, calling out the coaches. Not a good look down in Dallas, even for Mike McCarthy. But in that turn, you're playing against the Redskins. It's kind of a flip-em game. You know, I'm going to go with the Cowboys, but, you know, even though both teams are struggling, obviously both teams are in the heat of the race in the NFC East, as you saw last night. Even though it was a great game between the Eagles and Giants, both of those teams are extremely flawed, just like these two teams are extremely flawed. So somebody's got to win the East, and that's all we know. But in this game, I'm going to take the Cowboys.
There is some good news. Ron Rivera will be finishing his treatment for cancer this Monday, and things are looking good, he says.
Oh, that's good news. You know, I'm not going to blame Ron Rivera for all the problems with the Redskins, or Washington football problems, excuse me.
Shame on you, Ryan.
They go way beyond, you know, his tenure. So it's going to take some time to clean up that football team, you know, and really put the pieces together. I do think they drafted well. I think Chase Young is a great player. You know, I think they've given up, though, on Haskins, which I don't know if you should right now, but I think everybody's, you know, kind of pointing to this next year's draft to find that next quarterback.
Are you okay with Dwayne Haskins moving to third string?
Temporary, yes, but I think you've seen that Alex Smith, yes, it's a great story, but I don't know if that's a guy who's going to go out and win you a game.
He's not the Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You know, if you fall behind, or, you know, you need your court, you know, if Kyle Allen gets hurt, I think Dwayne Haskins can go out there and win you a game. I'm not quite sure if Alex Smith right now can.
A man that could win.
I think this is, you know, putting him in the third string is more or less just to clear his mind. Let him get refreshed, you know, don't put the pressure on him. You know, it's kind of a weird feeling to sit on the sidelines, you know, holding a clipboard when you're a number two quarterback. He's number three quarterback, he doesn't necessarily have to dress, you know, so it's a little different, you know, so. But, yes, I do believe he'll be the number two quarterback very soon.
Let's go on to the next game, the New York Derby, Buffalo Wild Wings going to the New York Jets. The Jets are 0-6, but can they get their first win against Buffalo?
Not this week, Santiago. You know, Buffalo is a hungry team. After two straight losses, I think they'll come into MetLife Stadium and really put a hurting on a very disorganized Jets team. You know, and that, you know, the Jets looked absolutely horrendous too against the Dolphins last Sunday afternoon. No life, no spark on offense. I doubt they'll show any life, you know, this week, and I think the Bills desperately need this game, you know, to regain their confidence. I'll take the Bills in that game.
Before we move on, what'd you think about the Bills' performance against the Chiefs this past Monday?
Disappointing. You know, I think that's kind of the feeling, you know, Tuesday morning here in Western New York. There's so much riding on that game, prime time Monday night. You know, this is the Bills have turned a corner, and kind of a flat performance on both sides of the ball. That's just kind of really, that's what I think they'll really come to play. Even though they're playing against a winless team, they'll be very motivated to get back on track.
The south of the NFC, Carolina at New Orleans. It feels like it's a must-win for New Orleans.
Must-win for both of these teams, really. Carolina's kind of been up and down. I don't think there's been a coach, I think, really, who's, you know, we talked about Mike Vrabel, but I think Matt Rule's done a tremendous job for the Panthers, keeping that ship on board, even after losing McCaffrey, which they should be getting back here in a week or two. But yes, the Saints absolutely need this game too. Two teams, at least the Saints had high Super Bowl expectations. The season hasn't necessarily gone the way they wanted to. But, you know, this is a game where you can really turn your season around, and it's a division game, which is very important. But I'm going to go with the Saints to win this game.
And a division dominated by Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Next game, the Green Bay Packers at Houston.
Houston coming off of, you know, aforementioned gut-wrenching loss to the Titans. We kind of really sealed the deal that this is not going to be their year. Going to play against the Packers after coming off their first loss, it doesn't seem very good. I think these are two teams going in the opposite direction. I think the Packers will bid over the Texans.
And by the way, Aaron Jones will be listed on the injury report this weekend.
I do expect him to play, though, what I've heard.
The Browns at the Bengals, Ohio Derby.
A rematch of a week two Thursday night football game. I think it was really Joe Burrow's coming out party. Played very well, even in the loss. You know, the Browns, you know, they lose the first week of the season, and they win four straight. And then they have a typical Browns meltdown. OBJ is basically taking his shoes off on the sidelines. They're just a tough team to get a hold of. You know, 4-2 record isn't bad, but you never know the mental state of, you know, this franchise. You know, Baker Mayfield, really, you know, even though they got a good record, really hasn't played great this year. You know, they're still out without Nick Chubb, so, you know, Kareem Hunt's going to have to really shoulder the load this week. But I do think they have enough on that team to beat the Bengals this week.
The Browns add on to their win column. Detroit at Atlanta. It looked like a whole new Atlanta this past weekend. Can they get their second win with their new coach?
Yeah, Raheem Morris is a veteran coach. I think he's just able to kind of rally the troops. Obviously not the long-term future. You know, probably it's one of those things you want, you know, the team to do well, but I don't think they really want Raheem Morris to be the guy. Kind of hoping that they don't do too well or make the tough choice, but they have some, you know, I think there's a chance they move on from some of their veteran players on the team. But, you know, the Lions, you know, again, you know, coming off a nice win this last, you know, nice performance this last week, I do think they do get another victory this week against the Falcons. I think the Falcons, you know, had road and momentum of a new coach last week, but I think they come back to earth this week.
So Detroit, you got Detroit this time.
Yes.
Unbelievable. I'm going for Atlanta because Matt Ryan is in my fantasy team. Tampa Bay at the Las Vegas.
You just got to have on your fantasy team because they're always behind.
Tampa Bay versus Las Vegas. Ryan, will Tampa continue the winning streak?
If you looked at the betting line on this earlier this week, it was, you know, a very close matchup. But, you know, then COVID outbreak of the offensive line, which I believe they might be without all five starting offensive linemen this week, Las Vegas. You know, due to contract tracing, they're on.
Correct.
You know, we know they don't have any positive tests, but, you know, because, you know, they are, you know, additionally to Trent Brown, you know, they're worried that, you know, they're all close to him. So they may be without the whole unit, which would definitely give the Buccaneers a distinct advantage. So no matter really what, you know, happens, I'm still going to go Tampa Bay. They're really rounding into shape here. They're finding their identity. They're a much better defensive team. You know, it just seems like having Tom Brady has really settled this franchise down. You know, you know, they don't make the mistakes on, you know, silly mistakes that kind of Tampa Bay has made, you know. I think having Jameis Winston last year as a quarterback, they took a lot of chances, you know, and they were able to score some points. But Tom Brady, you know, well, he's on the back, obviously the back end of his career, you know, limited athletically, you know, makes the smart plays, not making any mistakes, you know, they're not scoring at any record pace, but, you know, putting the team in the right position to play, and it's kind of led to them, you know, being competitive and winning most of their games. They're going to go against the Buccaneers with the victory.
The Buccaneers continue. We'll see if Scotty Miller makes some catches for me. Jacksonville at the Chargers, Minshew versus Herbert. Ryan, this is a tricky game to predict.
I think the Chargers win. Chargers have had some bad luck at the end. You know, they played well against the Saints, you know, last Monday night. Just they couldn't pull it off. They didn't have a week off, so I think they're fresh. The Jaguars, you know, they're trending in the wrong direction. You know, I think they're in the second position right now, really behind the Jets to get in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. So I think, you know, I don't know really how hard they're going to go after winning a lot of games, you know, as an organization. You know, I could see them, you know, next week or so before the trading deadline trying to get rid of even more of their assets. You know, I think, you know, the Gardner Minshew is a nice story, but, you know, he's very limited as an NFL quarterback. So, but, you know, in that saying, I'm going to go Justin Herbert getting another NFL victory here this week.
San Francisco visits New England. It feels like a must win for New England.
Must win for the 49ers, Santiago. That division is so good, isn't it?
Whew. It is stacked. But the Cardinals are not living up to the hype, though.
You don't think so? 4-2?
Okay, maybe I'm wrong. I'm looking at Seattle more, maybe.
You've all got really good teams in that division. You know, they're all... I think the Seahawks are a little step above everybody else right now, but there's no bad team. So that, in that case, you know, there's always a must win for every game, every team in that division. But, you know, the Patriots had a little bit of a hard time. The first time that Bill Belichick in a very long time has had a losing record this way into October. You know, a very poor performance by Cam Newton in their offense last week. You know, defense played well. They held Denver to no touchdowns, six field goals, but they didn't get really much on the from the offense. So I do look for Cam Newton to rebound, play much better. I think this game will go down to the very end because both teams desperately really need this game. But I think the 49ers pulled this out on the road.
49ers, unbelievable. And Sunday Night Football, the Chiefs visit the Broncos in a divisional matchup.
Sunday Night Football. I wish it was Sunday night. Just 4:25.
Oh, 4:25. I misspoke. Who do you have in an afternoon game? I hope Noah Fant gets a few catches.
I hope he's back in the lineup, so that's a good sign for both of our fantasy football teams. They got to score some touchdowns last week, as I just said. You know, got 60 goals. Defense played their hard stock, got a victory. But, yeah, you can't rely on field goals when you're playing the Chiefs, who took a new approach to the game last week. You know, a team that's kind of known for, you know, pass-heavy offense, you know, just enough running to kind of stay balanced a little bit. But, last week, they had 270 yards, most under Andy Reid, since he's been a coach of the Chiefs. So it'll be interesting to see what their strategy is as they head into Mile High Stadium on Sunday afternoon. You know, obviously my heart says no Broncos, but my head says it's going to be a tough one for us. So I'm going to say the Chiefs by a touchdown, but I do think the Broncos will play hard and keep it close to the end.
Let's go, Noah Fant. And Sunday Night Football, the real one, Seattle at Arizona, another divisional matchup. This could be Seattle's first loss.
Yeah, it very well could be. You know, we said it was a disastrous night for the Cowboys on Monday night, but it was a heck of a great night for Arizona. The team is really finding their identity. Kyler Murray's a quarterback. You know, they definitely have a lot of balance in their running game with Murray and Drake. And then Hopkins and Fitzgerald on the outside. Christian Kirk, you know, just keep stay down the field. I like it. It'd definitely be a high-scoring game because I think Seattle, while they're scoring a lot of points, has been very vulnerable in the back end. I like the game to be played in the mid to high 30s. But I just can't go against the MVP of this year, and that's Russell Wilson.
Ryan's going for Seattle in Arizona, in Phoenix. Before we go on to more predictions for college football, what are your thoughts about Yannick Ngakoue going to the Ravens from Minnesota?
It's a very, very short stay for him in Minnesota, another team that is trending in the wrong direction, you know, kind of punting on the season, you know, giving away their assets. Which, you know, to get a third-round pick from a guy, you know, who's on your team for five games is not a bad deal for that. So, good for them. Good for the Ravens getting a quality pass rusher, you know, really, really putting themselves in good position to make a run at the AFC Championship and Super Bowl this year.
And what are your thoughts about Tua being named the starter next week against the Rams?
I was shocked when I heard. You know, obviously you feel bad for Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, he definitely showed his emotions in the, you know, press conference this week, saying how hard it hurt, you know, his heart hurt because he was playing, you know, some of his best football of his whole career the last couple of weeks. You know, his performance against the 49ers, you know, 300 yards and basically a half of football. You know, and then another solid performance last week against the Jets, and, you know, ended up losing his job. That's kind of, I think, obviously it was a planned thing from the beginning. I think, you know, they looked at this point whenever their bye week was that, you know, that following week is going to be the week they're going to insert Tua. It's kind of showing that, you know, even though they got a chance to make the playoffs this year, this team is planning for beyond this year and for the future. And, you know, I think, and it keeps definitely, even though they're winning, it definitely, you know, keeps the fans involved down in South Florida. You know, I think, you know, whenever you put in a young setting quarterback and a guy who comes, you know, with the name recognition of Tua, you know, it's definitely going to energize your fan base.
And he'll be going up.
Them, you know, yeah, and it kind of definitely takes the pressure off this season, you know, lowers the expectations a little bit, so.
And
it's kind of good for Flores, you know. Kind of, I think, you know, they were with Fitzpatrick. If he keeps on playing the way he did, I think he'd be making a run at the playoffs. Now, I think, you know, you're okay with just, you know, a 6-10, 7-9 season.
And he'll be facing Aaron Donald. That'll be his first matchup. So we'll see how things.
Make sure his chin strap's very tight that game because he's going to be hit a couple of times.
Ryan, give us a Florida Gator football update. I know that they had to reschedule a few games, but what has been the latest so far for the Gators?
So last week, you know, their game against LSU was postponed to December 12th, which is the universal bye week the SEC has scheduled in, you know. But due to the extremely high number of COVID cases, you know, they had to postpone this, you know, this week's game against Missouri and push it back to next week. So next week, you know, the week before the Georgia game for years has always been their traditional bye week. So they won't have that, you know, a week to prepare for the Bulldogs this year. So they'll be, you know, if all goes well, you know, there's a lot of hope, even though Dan Mullen, the coach, has COVID, you know, there's a lot of hope that on Monday that they'll be able to open the facilities. But you, as fans, you know, no one really knows who has it. Who's eligible due to contracts. Yeah. I think all signs are pointing them to be able to play on Monday, you know, unless they've got some bad news over the weekend. So, you know, they should be able to play the Tigers next Saturday, but you know, there's still a lot of unknown who's going to be available to play.
Hey, we'll see what happens. Maybe some heal up some bruises that some players are trying to catch up with.
Yes. Yeah. But you know, it's very interesting, you know, all summer, you know, you're on the Florida fan websites, you know, they've been very boastful about the fact that, you know, they've had little of no COVID cases, you know, all through summer training camp, you know, but unfortunately you go on a road trip to Texas A&M and, you know, you go into different places, you go into a hotel, you come in contact with, you know, a lot of different people. and the situation in Texas is a lot different, you know, and you probably came, you know, probably it was led itself to spreading the infection on the team. Sources say that there was a one player who they just thought, you know, who tested negative, and they just thought it was the flu, but later on tested positive, who later probably spread it. So there's just a lot of different stories going on. Whether what is true or not true, I don't know. But, you know, the fact is, you know, they're opening the facility back on Monday, and they're going to give it a shot to play on Saturday.
Florida. Anyways, we'll see what happens. We got some more college football predictions. More predictions, but this time in college football. Ryan, who you have between NC State at UNC?
The battle of the Tar Heel State. You know, I'm going to go with the Tar Heels to pull off the game, you know, with quarterback Dennis O'Leary out for the Wolfpack for the rest of the year.
Alabama at Tennessee, a old-time rivalry.
Yes, but old-time rivalry, but the same old results. So, roll tie.
Michigan at Minnesota.
Yes, first game we're predicting from the newly started Big Ten. I do believe the Gophers will get that win on tomorrow night.
Wow, that's a big upset, isn't it?
Not really. I think, you know, Michigan 16, Minnesota 21. Really, I'm just going with Minnesota due to experience at quarterback. Joe Milton, who might be the better quarterback of them over Tanner Morgan of Minnesota, but the experience that Morgan, I think, will be the difference in the game.
Cincinnati at SMU.
Game of the week in the group of five. You know, hard-nosed defense of Cincinnati versus the high-flying Mustangs of SMU. I'm going to go defense in this game with Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. And poll question of the day, what was your favorite iPod? The original iPod with buttons, iPod with wheel but with no buttons, iPod Video, or iPod Touch?
Well, my first one, the iPod Touch, so I'm going to go with that.
iPod Touch it is. Ryan Krista, what is the best way to reach you to tell you about college football scores?
Mad Dog Report 18. San Diego, we can't leave the show without two more tidbits. How about our Liberty Flames 5-0 going for 6-0 tomorrow against Southern Mississippi? You know, what a great time to be a Liberty alumni and follower of the football team. It is crazy how much of a difference, you know, Coach Freeze has made on the program.
Which is rumored to go to Arkansas, right?
Yeah, going up to Syracuse, even though it isn't the greatest, you know, Power 5 football team. But they didn't just win San Diego. They bullied an ACC team around, running roughshod for over 350 yards, which is remarkable because last year when they played in Lynchburg, Liberty ran for negative 8 yards. That's a big difference, San Diego.
And go ahead.
And we're going to talk, and I'll give you my World Series prediction.
Yes, game three. I was about to ask you, who's going to take game three? Who will have a nice, beautiful 2-1 tomorrow morning?
I'm going to say the Dodgers, and I think they're going to win both games this weekend and go on to win the World Series in six games.
Interesting. No chance for the underdog.
Well, Santiago, this is a winner-take-all because Tampa Bay Lightning won the
Stanley Cup.
L.A. Lakers won the NBA. So now we've got Tampa Bay and L.A. going at each other in baseball. You know, the two sports meccas of COVID right here playing against each other.
You're going with like the whole variable thing. So, and of course, you can follow us on thesportscast.net or thesportscast.net for the latest and greatest in news. And of course, you can download our Sportscast app where you could go to the iOS App Store and you could download the app right there and listen to us on the radio. Last night, we had Victor Orocho on the show talking about his thoughts about Tua Tagovailoa, which it seems like the news of the week. And also, you could go on our Twitter and follow us at the Sportscast1. And of course, we'll be live tweeting a few games tomorrow for college, not just for NFL and things like that. And I'm trying to find who was the NBA coach that got hired this week. Stan Van Gundy to the Pelicans.
Yes, Rochester's very own Stan Van Gundy resurfacing back up after a successful stint calling NBA games the last couple of years with the New Orleans Pelicans. He's definitely definitely an anti-Alvin Gentry in the sense of Alvin Gentry is a great offensive mind. But, you know, the team definitely lacks discipline on defense. Dan Van Gundy will turn that around. Probably lacks the creativity on offense that Gentry had, but when you got Zion Williams and Brandon Ingram, that should take care of itself. It's definitely a good hire. I think it's
decent. A move that, not sexy.
Yeah, it's a decent move. I don't know if you're trying to build a foundation there in New Orleans. They got some pieces they may want to move and go in a different direction. They, you know, Drew Holiday was a very good point guard, but obviously makes a lot of money and could be somebody that a team like Brooklyn would want to add so they can make their title run next year.
Ryan, and
the NBA is going to be very different, you know.
Yeah, and
up, you know, when you add Kevin Durant to the Nets, and basically you take, you know, you're adding Steph Curry and Klay Thompson back to the Warriors, you know, it's the whole landscape changes very drastically next year in the NBA.
And they're thinking about the NBA to start their season by Christmas, so we'll see if that unravels.
Yeah, and other news for the NBA, November 18th will be the NBA draft, which will be done virtually at the ESPN studios in Bristol, Connecticut.
Wow, I've seen that before. Sounds familiar. Anyways, which sport will take over the sports news this weekend? Will it be the Big Ten?
I think, you know, you had a power conference in, like, the Big Ten in the heart of America there. You know, you got a lot of major players, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan. So there'll be a lot of eyes on college football this week. You know, you have the World Series. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, that's going to make some news. So, but, you know, in the end, usually the NFL drives the ship when it comes to viewership and importance in the sports world.
Yes, a lot of good games. And, of course, follow us on the Sportscast. And also sign up for our daily newsletter. We have the latest in games, sports scores, sports news, and articles. And check out some Big Ten articles we just released this morning. And we are predicting, and Ryan, which Justin Riley predicted Iowa to win the Big Ten East. Kind of eye-opening, but we'll see what happens. Ryan Krista, great show.
Rachel, thanks Santiago, and everybody have a safe, great weekend. Enjoy the sports, enjoy your family and friends. Until next time.
Go SMU.
Go Mustangs, yeah.